And we come today to Exodus chapter 22. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 22, verse 1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. And the reason you had to restore more oxen is it was how he earned his livelihood. Stealing somebody's oxen would be the equivalent of stealing a painter's paintbrush or a carpenter's toolkit. Verse 2, if a thief be found breaking up or breaking in and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. Why? Because self-defense. You're protecting your property and possibly your life and the life of your family. God says you have a right to do that. 3, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. We can defend ourselves, but God expects it to be done with reasonable force. It isn't right to kill someone who clearly doesn't intend to hurt you. I mean, if somebody is stealing something from you but doesn't intend to hurt you, you don't have the right to use lethal force. Verse 4, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If the stolen thing could not be returned, the thief was to pay back 4 or 5 times the value of whatever was taken. If the item could be returned, then he was to restore it double. Verse 5. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the beast of his own field and of the beast of his own vineyard, he shall make restitution. In other words, if you're taking money out of your neighbor's pocket, if your livestock eat out of his field, God says, pay him back with the very best that you have. You're going to make crime cost you something. That's the point here. Verse 6, if fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stack of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. It was okay to start a fire, to burn unwanted brush, or whatever the case may be. But the guy needed to know what he was doing. He had to be careful. If he lets it get out of control, then he's responsible for any damages that that fire does to someone else's property. Verse 7. If a man shall deliver to his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he have put his hand to his neighbor's goods. So if someone entrusts something to another, they need to take care of it. Guard it as if it belongs to you. Verse 9, for all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double to his neighbor. And so God was Israel's king, and judges were his representative rulers, and they were to try and determine cases using God's word and God's law. And by doing that, God was actually working through the judges and running the country. 10. If a man delivered to his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he has not put his hand to his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. We have a God who sees everything that we do, and he hears everything that we say, and he knows everything that we think. We have a God who disciplines us for the things that we do wrong. Living in the awareness of the presence of God, of that God, is the thing that restrains sin. So if someone back then took a holy oath that they were innocent, they were. God was real to them. No one in their right mind back then would swear by God that they were innocent of something and lie about it. Verse 12. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner thereof. So if someone borrows their neighbor's animal and it's stolen while he has it, the borrower has to buy him a different one. Verse 13. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. So if the borrower can produce evidence that a wild animal killed it, he didn't have to pay for it. Verse 14. And if a man borrow anything of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof, being not with it, he shall surely make it good. Verse 15. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for his hire. So if we borrow something, then God expects us to take care of it. If someone thinks, oh, I'm just borrowing it, it's not mine, I don't have to take care of it, they better understand that God says they must take care of it, because God will hold them accountable if they do not. Verse 16. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If a guy takes advantage of a girl, he can't just say, well, it's been fun, see you later. You do that to a girl, God says, you pay the father the bride price, which would then be set aside for her. And he also has to take care of the girl. So those rules would make a guy think twice about taking advantage of a girl. Again, the wisdom of God. 17. If her father utterly refused to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. So if the dad says, no way, I'm not giving my daughter to that guy, then she didn't have to go with the guy. But he still had to pay for doing what he did to her. God wanted there to be a price to be paid for the sin of impurity, sexual sin of any kind. 18. You shall not allow a witch to live. Things like tarot cards, fortune tellers, horoscopes, Ouija boards, and the rest of those things may be called entertainment by some today, but they are perverted sin. They are evil to God, and he absolutely forbids it. And there is no way of getting around that. The only reason those who promote it and those who do it are not dead is because God is giving them time to repent. Verse 19. Whosoever lies with a beast shall surely be put to death. Bestiality. It's a capital crime as far as God is concerned. Terrible sin. 20. He that sacrifices to any god save the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. No idolatry. You know, if Israel would have followed this commandment, if they would have punished those who were into idolatry, they would have saved themselves a lot of heartache. They never would have split as a nation. They never would have been taken into captivity. They would have avoided so much suffering, and we would too. Don't put anyone or anything before God, and God will be on your side. But if you commit idolatry in some way, you're in trouble. And you're going to pay for it. 21. You shall neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Be kind to strangers. I mean, as long as they're in your land legally, treat them with respect and dignity. Don't pick on someone simply because they are a stranger in your land. 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Don't take advantage of somebody who is vulnerable. 23. If you afflict them in any wise and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. People who are being abused should cry out to God. People who are treated unfairly should cry out to God, because God will hear their prayer. And you know what that means. It means trouble for the bully. 24. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. In other words, you're going to pay. You're going to pay with your life. 25. If you lend money to any of my people that is poor by you, you shall not be to him as a usurer, neither shall you lay upon him usury. Don't lend to somebody who's poor and charge them interest. Just help them out. That's what God is saying. Be kind to somebody who needs help. Don't make a profit off of them. 26. If you at all take your neighbor's raiment to pledge, you shall deliver it to him by that the sun goes down. So if somebody borrows something, some money from you or something, and you want to take something as a pledge of theirs to keep it so that they know they have to repay it or they're going to lose whatever they give you. Well, if it happens to be their covering, then make sure you return it to them before it gets cold at night so they have something to sleep with. So again, we see here God's compassion. He's very strict about his law, but at the same time, he doesn't want it to go too far. He wants you to be compassionate. 26, actually verse 27. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass when he cries to me that I will hear, for I am gracious. If you take advantage of somebody, if you're just mean to somebody, if you have a right to hold something, do it within reason and do it within the boundaries of compassion. Don't hurt somebody in the process, or God will be angry at you. Verse 28, you shall not revile the gods nor curse the ruler of your people. And the gods, little g here, refer to judges, magistrates. Treat them with respect. God expects people to respect all legitimate authority in their life. 29. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe fruits and of your liquors, that would be juice, the firstborn of your sons shall you give to me. Give God what's coming to him, and don't delay. Like somebody said, delayed obedience is disobedience. If God has something coming, then give it to him right now. It's not right to hold on to it yourself. It doesn't belong to you. 30. Likewise shall you do with your oxen and with your sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the 8th day you shall give it to me. And so God, again, he shows compassion here. The lesson here is give God what he wants. If he's asking you to do it, if he's asking you to give something, then don't delay. The problem with delaying is that it sometimes leads to not doing at all. Verse 31, and you shall be holy men to me. Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. You shall cast it to the dogs. So if you find something laying dead, you know, don't think, well, this is my lucky day. I've got free meat. Well, you don't know how that died. It could have died from some disease that could be passed on to you, or it could be spoiled. So you're my people. Act with some dignity, is what God is saying.